Children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul the key. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul the key.
Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And our show is brought to you by starlights.com. That's starlights.com. And alternativecancer.us. And if you haven't checked them out, please do. There are products to help you, products to soothe you, and products to interest you. So, go for it. Check it out. Okay, people. Today is pretty interesting. The original broadcast of this show is December 13th, 2012. And, of course, all of us are anxiously awaiting December 21st, you know, to see if we're actually having Christmas. But, yes, we are. At least, you know, my belief is that, yeah, it'll go on. In the meantime, we've been talking about how to get through the holidays. So this show might be a little bit tear-jerky for some people. It's basically going to be about, you know, how do you get through the holidays in two situations that are difficult. One is with people that you really don't like, but you feel a duty to be with. And the other is dealing with the holidays after a loved one has passed. And it doesn't matter whether that loved one is human or animal, okay? If you have lost a being that you love, it's rough, okay? So I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, it's easy and, you know, just ignore it. What I am going to say is don't go there, okay? Don't allow yourself to give in to those feelings of grief because that will just paralyze you, okay? The time for grieving was when it happened and, you know, for a few months afterwards. And yeah, you'll have specks of grieving here and there. But, you know, please don't put yourself through the torture, okay? First of all, they're still fine. They just transmuted into a higher dimension that we can't communicate with most of the time. Now, I know all this, but I still went through years of grieving when I lost my last husband. You know, he was my twin flame, you know, just the one that's like you can't ever detach from, you know, because that's the other half of you, you know, a little hard to detach from that. But, you know, and I've lost animals that I completely loved and, you know, was just such a buddy with that, you know, it's really rough. When an animal gives you its love, it's different than a human. First of all, animals are non-judgmental. They just love you, you know, and they're trying to help you. And the whole reason that they can't speak to us is because they are too damn wise for us, okay? they just kind of know what's going on, and they remember what's really happening. And so they're not supposed to tell us, okay? Now, some people can communicate with them, and I've had my times where I've communicated with my cats and my horse and all that kind of stuff, and it's really magical when that happens. But it makes it harder when they leave. So, first of all, let's get through the ones that you really don't want to be around, okay? And then if you want to call in after a little bit, you know, and see if there's anything that I might be able to do to help you in your particular situation, you're welcome to call in, okay? But first of all, let's talk about those people you don't like. First of all, if you don't like them, why are you going to show up for Christmas around them? I mean, seriously, hello? And I know, you know, you may think that you've got a duty or whatever else. And, you know, you can give them a little white lie. You can make yourself suddenly busy and unable to come. You know, but be honest with yourself at least, okay? Because if you show up someplace where people know that you don't like them and you don't want to be around them, they're going to misbehave even worse than normally, okay? This applies to your family, your work colleagues, including your boss, to your friends, you know, whatever. We have all had those friends and family that you just don't want to be around because they bring you down, you know, and they're judgmental and critical of everything that you do, and they want to point out every little thing that's wrong with you. Now, the best defense against that, in case you're wondering, is to know yourself fully. And when you do, I can tell you it's really funny because my usual MO is I laugh hysterically when somebody says, oh, yeah, well, you're this or you're that or blah, 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 blah. And I just start laughing. And it really cracks me up that they would even think for a moment that I don't know myself. But most people don't know themselves. They haven't done their homework, okay? So I suggest that the best revenge is getting to know yourself fully. So then you too can laugh hysterically when somebody wants to point out all your faults. Because, you know, here's the bottom line. If we were perfect, we wouldn't be here, okay? We all have problems. We've all got faults. You know, we're all a bunch of jerks. So, you know, that's the way it is, all right? So the bottom line is just to get better. Be the best that you can be in every moment and continue to improve. You don't have to stay the way that you were. You can reinvent yourself every day if you need to. So for those people out there who think it's hopeless and you're always going to be judged, you know, to be less than you think that you could be, there's a lot of things you can do. One thing you can do is move. Get away from those people that won't let you become who you are or who you could be. And sometimes, you know, it sounds drastic. Or, you know, if I just said that and you said, oh, well, I can't do that because blah, 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 blah. Let me make it very clear. Bullshit. Okay? And start reexamining your life. You can always find a way. You don't have to have money to make a change. You may think you do, but you're wrong. You can find a way. If you really want to change, you can find that way. But it's going to take a little outside the box thinking. Okay? You may have to give up a few things. You may have to just walk away. Who knows? But I can tell you that when you start behaving in a manner that is more congruent with your soul, when you go in alignment with that soul, your life will absolutely improve. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you're a parent, or especially a single parent, you have kids, I'm not suggesting you walk away. Okay, that's one situation where you really can't. You are responsible for those little people until they get to a certain age. And that age is legally defined as usually 18. If you have a developmentally disabled child, then, okay, it could be for the rest of their lives, but you can figure something else out, okay? But those are, you know, a little bit more difficult circumstances. So let's go back to the ones that you can change very quickly. Okay, if you find that every time you go to Christmas dinner with your relatives and or your friends, and it turns into everybody talking about each other's faults, it turns into people just misbehaving horribly, then I have to ask you, why would you go there? Change it. You are the one who has the power to change it. And just tell them whatever you want to tell them. You know, I prefer that you tell people the truth, but I also prefer that you don't hurt them unnecessarily. Sometimes you just have to sit somebody down and say, look, I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you. Now, loving someone doesn't mean you have to like them, which is the case in a lot of families, you know. You love them, they're your family, but they're not likable people. Okay? So stop the guilt trip about that kind of stuff. You can sit down and say, I love you, but you know what? I don't like to be around you because you're too negative. You're always criticizing me. And you know what? The world will criticize me enough. I don't need somebody that I love to do that to me. Because 9 times out of 10, what people are pointing out to you is not your faults, but their faults. We are all big mirrors for each other. So whatever you find in someone that you don't like, you better be examining yourself, because it's most likely that you have that trait, or you did have it at some point in the past, and you know where that trait leads, and you don't like it. So at that point, when you recognize that within yourself, you have two choices. You can either help them or not help them. But again, you know, look at yourself. What is it that you want to do? You don't have to help anybody. You know, I would hope that people would help where they can. You know, I mean, really, we are here to help each other. But that doesn't mean you have to be the doormat and have people walk all over you and take advantage of you. You know, when that kind of stuff happens, that's your lesson. And what the universe is saying to you is, oh, you like this? Well, okay, we'll give you more. So at what point are you going to finally stand up and go, oh, my God, that's enough. You know, stop. I don't want any more. Universe, hear me now. I refuse to accept any more like that. And then you better be on your game and you better refuse to accept any more. But it does work. And I can tell you that I have systematically culled out the negative people from my life through the years. That's taken me a lot because I was born a helper. And, you know, through my near-death experiences, I can see why people are operating the way they are very easily. And so I try to help them. And sometimes I go way overboard. I help too much. And at some point now, I will usually say, you need to take responsibility for your own life. And at which point, if they start informing me that I'm wrong and that I have no idea what's going on, I just go, oh, really? Okay. Well, you know what? Have a nice life. Because I'm done. You know, and I won't tell them that. I'll just kind of like disappear from their lives. And the whole reason I do that is because I'm not going to waste my energy. I will not cast my pearls before swine. And so I try to help people as much as I can. And then at that certain point, I go, I see where this is going. And I refuse to do that anymore. Now, some of you out there may think that that's very unchristian of me or unmetaphysically enlightened of me or whatever. But, you know, you'll learn someday. You'll get to that point where you go, oh, yeah, okay, now I get it. Because really, you know, your only responsibility in this life is to work on you. And working on you means getting to know you completely. Not only the self that you are in this body, but the higher self too. The one that sits in heaven. The one that, you know, if we saw that person appear in front of us, we would think that was God. Because that being is so far above us. And we're just a little tiny part of that. But we are part of it. And so your job in this life is to get to know yourself fully. And to make choices as to what you want to or do not want to experience in life. And I find that if you can go into the holidays with that attitude, you will have a much happier holiday. And there's always people who are alone for the holidays that will band together and, you know, go out and have a meal somewhere. Either somebody will cook or everybody will bring potluck or everybody will just go out to eat. And I can tell you that's a lot nicer way to go through the holidays than going to some place where there's going to be screaming matches and people accusing each other of terrible things. And, you know, you can't change the past unless you know how to do it with holographic memory resolution. And then nobody would know it but you anyway. that's another whole subject. But, you know, if you're going to go to your family and they're going to remind you of every stupid thing you ever did since you were born, and they look at you with those eyes, they look down upon you, or they're going to accuse you of every horrible thing you ever did to them. At the holiday? Really? Seriously? That doesn't sound like good family time to me. And you know, if you can't be kind with each other at the holiday, then you pretty much don't have a chance the rest of the year. So, yeah, you might rethink your holiday plans. Okay? Now, it is your choice. And I don't care what the heck kind of duty somebody tells you you have, you can always get out of it. You can suddenly get sick. You can say, you know what, I'm just not up to it. Or you can tell somebody, you know, I don't want to spend my holiday that way. However you decide to do it. You know, if you have somebody that's very rude that starts, you know, the accusations and the, oh, that's ridiculous and blah, 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 that type of stuff, then they deserve a rude response. And I say that because I have found that most of the people who respond that way, when you tell them your truth, first of all, they don't deserve politeness. But secondly, they're reacting, okay? They are not in their truth. They can't say, I love you and I really want to see you. Or they can't tell you, well, you know, I'll feel better about myself if you come because then I can cut you down. Sounds harsh, but, you know, that's the reality. So, you know, be honest with them. And, I mean, you know, about the third time somebody replies rudely to me when I've told them the truth, I just start laughing. And I just go, seriously, dude, you don't realize how rude you're being? And you're shocked at me and you're accusing me of being rude to you? Back up a second here. You know, take a look at what you just said to me. And, you know, now I'm not thinking that that everyone is going to react the same way. And what works for me may not work for other people. You have to, first of all, be the observer in your life to be able to step back and to see what's really going on. If you're in reaction mode, then this isn't going to work for you the same way. You have to be in observer mode to be able to do it, you know, from a truthful standpoint. Now, the reason I say that is because more and more people are in reactive mode lately. And so what's happening is that they are getting their little feelings hurt, and they are then reacting in such a way that it is detrimental to them and to everyone else. So, first of all, you know, learn how to get into observer mode. Okay? All right, then the next thing is, be honest with yourself. Like I said, if you don't want to go somewhere, don't go there for whatever reason. You know, maybe you get up in the morning and you go, wow, I really don't feel like going over to so-and-so's house. Okay, call them. Let them know. And I can tell you, I've had people trying to set me up with men ever since my husband died. And they're like, oh, you know, I really want you to meet this person because blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, my God, go away, you know. I'm just not interested in that type of stuff because other people's ideas of me are usually not the truth. They're trying to do something from the goodness of their heart, they think. But what they're really doing is saying, wow, I really like this person. And, you know, if you like this person too, then they could always be in my life. So, you know, start examining things, not in a paranoid way, but in a way that is going to bring you the truth. Okay? And obviously, if you have very obnoxious people in your family that you're supposed to go see, oh boy, howdy. Stay away, you know. Just pull yourself out of that whole situation. And when you do that, you'll feel better. You won't have all the stress. Because, you know, holidays are stressful. And as I've mentioned before, Thanksgiving holiday is violence against others. Christmas holiday is violence against self. So let's get into the mental-emotional thing here about, you know, people that feel sorry for themselves at Christmas. Okay, why are you feeling sorry? Did you have a big family? You had a lot of friends growing up. You always had lots of holiday stuff going on. And now you have nobody and you're sitting there feeling sorry for yourself? Well, get yourself out of it. Who do you think is going to pull you out of that? So look at yourself in the mirror. Say, I am going to go find some new friends. I am going to go find some festivities that I enjoy. And I'm going to go make some new holiday traditions. Whatever you like to do. We've talked about it before. You know, you can go to a homeless shelter and help feed the homeless. You can go to a retirement home and help people write letters to their family, people that can't write anymore, or record messages to them and send it off to them, whatever. You can do that kind of stuff. You can get together with a bunch of friends and go have a dinner or whatever. you know, whatever it is that would thrill you to be doing. Community is very important at Christmas time. Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you want to call it, okay? It's a festival of lights, basically. So during that time, you want to bring more light into your life, and I guarantee you that if you do, you will feel much better about the holidays. And if you have lost a loved one around the holidays, or if you had big holiday doings with that loved one and now they're gone, oh yeah, it's difficult. I do understand. However, that was then, this is now, and you have to get over it. Now, if it just happened, do I expect you to get over it by this Christmas? No, of course not. It's going to take some time. But for those of you that are a year out or more, I realize you're still grieving. I realize that the holidays are going to be a little rough, so do something different. Shed a few tears if you need to, but don't get sucked into the whole sorrow thing. Because that is a downward spiral. It's not going to help. So what you need to do is put yourself on an upward spiral by yourself. Do whatever you have to do. Okay? Now, the most important thing that you can do before you go to bed, if you really want to change everything, no matter what you're dealing with, is you want to listen to and or read something uplifting. Now, one of the best things around the holidays is there's lots of really heartwarming holiday movies. Look at those. You know, look at something that's so uplifting and makes you love humanity, and then go to bed, okay? You'll feel a lot better. You'll have a much nicer sleep. Read things that are uplifting. I mean, I know there's a lot of interesting books out there. People have had interesting lives, you know, but a lot of them are very depressing or scary. So don't read that kind of stuff before you go to bed, because it'll make you into a bah humbugger for the whole holiday, okay? So you might as well enjoy the holidays, you know, get a little brotherly love out there and, you know, find a way to have some joy. And if you're totally by yourself, like if you're out in Antarctica or something, all righty, well, you got yourself and you got the elements. That's a pretty severe situation, but you're going to have to figure out how you're going to make yourself be happy, which brings me to another thing. If you are looking outside of yourself for happiness, you will never find it. Let me repeat that. If you're looking outside of yourself for your happiness, you will never find it. It doesn't exist outside. It exists within. And so the best thing you can do for yourself at any time is to learn to go within and to be happy within yourself, to be happy with yourself, and to strive to be better all the time. It's kind of like if you think about, well, say when you're a teenager and you think about sitting in a rocker in the retirement home or on your front porch with a rifle across your lap or, you know, however you envision your retirement. Think about if somebody comes up to you and says, wow, you know, you're so old and you've had a fascinating life. Would you tell me about it? What are the things that you would tell someone that you have done in your life that were important? And I'm not talking important as in earth-shaking, world-shattering, you know, CNN news. I'm talking about what have you done that made a difference in someone's life? It could be something little. You could smile at people when you're walking down the street. You could stop to help someone that's fallen off their bike. Or carry something for someone. Or hold the door open when you're going into the post office. Those are the things that make a difference. And let me give you a couple examples. I've had occasion to go to the post office a lot in the last 2 months. I cannot tell you the number of men who have seen me coming right behind them with my arms full of packages, and they look at me and let the door slam in front of me. Now, I understand men are afraid to hold the door open for women, but seriously, I have white hair, guys. You know, and you're not going to hold the door open for me? Hello? You know, if I could talk to your mama, if you're one of those guys, your mama would beat your ears, you know? That is just not good behavior. I hold the door open for whoever's coming behind me. I've held the door open for lots of men. And the reason I do that is because it's common courtesy. So what are you doing in your life where you're ignoring common courtesy? Because you know what? When you do those little common acts of kindness, you can actually make a difference in someone else's life. And they will go on and make a difference in someone else's life. It's kind of like a pay it forward type of thing. You know, you do some good, it keeps on expanding. So if you want the world to be better, start practicing random acts of kindness, common courtesy, a smile, something like that. Okay? You'll start feeling better about yourself. Because deep down inside, you know what I'm telling you is right. And so if you've fallen onto the other side and you're ignoring people and you're scowling at people and thinking that you can't trust them, well, guess what you're going to get more of in your life? The universe will prove to you whatever you believe. So I'm suggesting you believe something better. And of course, there's all the people out there now going, oh yeah, well, I'm going to believe I win $1 million in the lotto. That's kind of selfish, don't you think? That's why that kind of stuff usually doesn't happen. Unless you're really prepared for it. That's a whole other show. We can talk about luck and manifestation and visualization and all that kind of stuff. What I'm talking about is if you see someone around you that needs something, pray for them. They don't have to know you're praying for them. You know, or just put a good thought out there. If you're an atheist, just think a good thought. Like, wow, you know, it would be really nice, or I wish that, you know, so-and-so could have that they need in their life. You know, just put some good vibes out there. It doesn't matter what you believe in. You just have to believe in yourself and in your connection with some kind of higher intelligence. And then you have magic happen in your life. So now the next thing is dealing with the stinking thinking. Like I said before, don't go there, okay? If you're having thoughts of grief or you're unhappy, maybe you're depressed in the holidays. It's very common around Christmas time, especially if you're ill. You know, there are people who really don't want to spend the holidays in the hospital. And having worked for 40-some years in medicine, and a good portion of that in hospitals, in ER and ICU, I can tell you that there are repeat people who come in on the holidays and they cry as they're being wheeled through the door. They don't want to be there. But you know what? It's actually better for them to be there because they have nobody at home. And, you know, hospitals try to help. You know, there's always people making little things to put on the tray. And, you know, the nurses and the doctors will, you know, try to help in some way, help people to feel better, you know, to the best of anyone's ability. Not all, but, you know, some will. And so it's really up to you to decide how you're going to feel. If you choose depression, it's a downward spiral, and it can spiral you right out of this existence. I suggest you don't go there. Instead, start thinking about what you can do to improve your life. What you can do that doesn't cost anything is to start within. Change your stinking thinking. Change your attitude. And start deciding that you are going to have more joy, more fun, and more amazingly wonderful things happen in your life. When you decide it, when you believe it, you will see it. And if you're familiar with Dr. Wayne Dyer, I remember years ago he had a series of tapes out called You'll See It When You Believe It. And I loved that series. I loaned it to somebody and it disappeared. but it was really interesting because that was kind of the beginning of manifestation. It all starts within us, okay? We are the creators. And if you look at the quantum physics aspect of it, we are receiving the information about the world from someplace outside of us. And then our five senses play those things out and make us think that there's this outside world where all this stuff is happening. And it's your actions and reactions with what you're experiencing that then create your world. So you can change it. And it takes a little practice, you know, because if everybody could manifest everything instantaneously, we would have chaos. So you got to learn how to control your thoughts and emotions and to be in alignment with the path and things like that, so you don't upset the whole apple cart for everybody else, because we are playing in the soup together. So start within. Figure out what it's going to take to make you happy. Okay, especially over the holidays. This is very important. Do something every day that is going to make you happy, no matter how busy you are, or even if you have not a thing to do the entire day and you're depressed because you have nothing to do and nobody comes to visit. Okay, figure something out. What can you do that you enjoy to do that is something that is going to benefit you and that you will avoid hurting anybody else with? Something that is going to better your situation. Think about it. What can you do? There's plenty of shut-in people who are so depressed. Well, you know, you have to have some kind of skill in life, or you could develop one. It's never too late. So what is it you could do that would make you feel a part of life, that would make you happy to be here? It's kind of like, you remember when the latchkey program started for the kids that went home and nobody was there because both parents were working? And they had latchkey buddies, you know. Kid would go home, pick up the phone, and call the buddy, usually an adult. And, you know, just have someone to talk to so they didn't feel alone. And there's lots of programs like that out there for people who are shut-ins. So find something. Even if you did nothing else but sit and pray for the world to be a better place, not decide how. Just pray, you know, put the positive vibes out there. Or if you're an atheist, just think it, you know, think some positive thoughts about the world. Even if you did that just for a few minutes a day, that will change your life. It'll just start getting better and better. So there's a lot of things that you can do. Now, let's start with the difficult part. When you have lost someone that you love and holidays were special with them, is that going to be a problem? Oh, yeah. Yeah, buddy. Big problem. So what you have to do is figure out how to get past that. Yes, it's okay to grieve. You have to grieve, but you don't have to spend a huge amount of time in the grief. That's not healthy. And, you know, you're not going to bring them back from the dead. So the best that you can do is to thank them for having been with you. Even if you had a rough relationship, you know, be thankful that you had that relationship, whatever it was. Be thankful that you learned something when you were with that person, something about yourself, something about the world that made it better. And allow yourself to discover who you are without that person. And now women have the biggest problem with this, seemingly, because we are receptive. And so when we enter into a relationship, we lose ourselves and we become a Mrs. Somebody. You know, we become the other half of that other person. That's kind of the way that we're wired. And that's normal. But then men that have lost their woman, or if they're gay, their partner, they actually have a much worse time of it. They don't talk about it, but those are the ones that really go so deep into grief and can't seem to recover from it, because they realize that, hey, you know, I had somebody that loved me, and now I don't. And, oh my God, it's never going to happen again. Well, if you have that attitude, it never will happen again. But if you work on yourself, work on healing, and realize that even if you were awful to that person and you feel terrible guilt, they're on the other side now. Okay, they know better. And they love you. Because that's all that exists on the other side. And so you can drop the guilt. Okay, and just resolve that you're going to be a better person with your next relationship. Or if there's no other relationship, just with yourself. Learn to be happy within. And as you do that, all this holiday nonsense is going to get a lot easier. So maybe it's tough for this year, but realize that you can change. That's the first step. You don't have to stay the same. So as you're going through, you know, your grief process, and as you're going through thinking about, you know, how your life is going to change now, it helps to write lists down. You know, write down the things that absolutely devastate you about this person being gone from your life. Just write it down. Write it in a letter to them. And then later on, you can do a little ceremony and either burn it or bury it. And just say, you know what? I'm done with that. That was devastating, but that was then and this is now. And now I need to move on. And then sit down and ask yourself, what do I really want? What would I like my life to look like? How would I like to spend my holidays? How can I get joy back into my holidays? Or if you've never had joy in the holidays because you had a crazy relationship, then what would be more normal? What would you like to experience? Write all this stuff down. It's going to make a huge difference. Because once you have these lists going, then you've got a direction. And this is so important because if you have no direction, you're flailing around out there in the ethers going, oh, God, help me. You know, oh, it's impossible. I can't do anything. What am I going to do? Well, I'm telling you what to do. Write a list. Take the time to help yourself. And do some really deep thinking about this. You know, what is it you really want? You know, I had somebody ask me the other day. She was very shocked at a thing I did to help her. And she said, I want to help you. I want to give you something to show you how much I appreciate what you did for me. And she said, I felt like I was dying. And so she said, you know, what can I do? You know, what can I get you? And I said, well, you know, really, there isn't anything. I don't want anything. And I kind of stepped back from that conversation. I went, wow, isn't that interesting? For the first time in my life, I don't really want anything. And, you know, that makes life a lot easier. And we'll have a show about that at some point in the future. Because when you get rid of the wants, all of a sudden you're content with what you have. So look for those little moments, too. You know, if you have joy for a few moments while you're watching some kids play at Christmas, or you're listening to some Christmas music or watching a movie or something, grab onto that moment and go, yeah, you know, actually, this makes me happy. I like this. I feel the warmth within my heart. This is how you get out of the doldrums, okay? You have to actively do something. You know, it's not like the angel of Christmas is going to come and bonk you on the head with a star-shaped magic wand and suddenly make you joyous, okay? You have to do something. Hate to tell you this, but like everything else, there's a lot of work involved, okay? So you're going to have to make the changes. And you can do it. And start with being honest with yourself. That's where it all starts, you know? Be honest with you. Be honest about what you want, what you're willing to put up with, what you're not willing to put up with, and what you want to change. And then you can take a look at those holiday invitations with a different light. You have a better perspective. I mean, I have things going on in my life where I go, you know what? I really don't want to participate in that drama. It's like, yeah, I love these people, but do I want to be involved in their creepy drama? No, I don't. So I just stay away. And I am really happy doing that. And I don't really care that they're unhappy that I'm not there. Because you know what? The only thing that exists in Dr. Valerie's world is Dr. Valerie. And the rest of you all, you're all figments of my imagination. Now, that sounds crazy, but if you look at the quantum physics, that's the truth. You know, so each one of us is the most important person in our world. When are you going to start paying attention to that? You know, like, when would now be a good time for you to realize that you're important? Sorry, Tony Robbins, I had to borrow that one. So start looking at yourself, okay? Stop looking all around you. Look at yourself. You're important. There is nobody else like you anywhere in existence. You're it. You are absolutely unique. And you have a unique part to play in this life. And you have lots of parts to play. We're multidimensional, incredible beings. And we're only conscious of this little part here in this world that we call in 3D. I mean, some of us can see into the other dimensions too. But for the most part, most people are stuck in 3D. So if you realize that even in 3D you have a lot of parts to play, then why would you allow yourself to get stuck in a part that doesn't feel good? So let this be the first holiday that you take charge of your own happiness. Take charge of your life, take responsibility for it, and start creating something that you're going to enjoy. Because if you're not getting enjoyment now, when are you planning on getting that? When is that ever going to happen? When will enough be enough? When will you be able to say, I'm content? And yeah, I'd like to work on a few things, but you know what? I'm pretty happy with life. I'm happy with myself. Yes, I can improve, and I'm working on improving. Yes, my life could improve. I'm working on that. It's a constant work in progress. You know, you're never going to arrive at the great exalted state, okay? You don't arrive there. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. So if you start looking at it with a little bit different perspective, it should help you to feel a little bit better. So in everything that you do, it's all about the journey. How are you getting there? If you're trampling people on the way, you're going to, you know, slowly go down that downward spiral on a not very pleasant journey. You may get to the top, or what you think is the top, but at some point you're going to hit the bottom, and then you're going to learn that it is about the journey. And for the other people who have always had a blessed life and everything's going smoothly, that can be a problem too. Because if you ever reach that state of total contentment, that's when you're in the most danger spiritually. So always want to be striving to be better. And strive to make every moment in your life the best moment that it can be. And especially around the holidays, because then you're involved with a bunch of other people. You can be a good example. Now, how's that saying go, that no one is a waste that can always serve as a bad example? You might choose to get out of that. If you're the bad example for your family, go away for a while. You know, learn how to be the good example. It's all a choice, okay? Now, making the choice doesn't mean it's going to happen instantaneously. I would not mislead you that way. As I said, there's work involved. How much work depends on how much change you want. But the main thing is to first realize what you want. So let me give you another example. If you are working just to support your house, then ask yourself, is that house really the most important thing in your world? You know, if you're stressed out every single day and you're screaming at the spouse and the kids and the grandparents and the neighbors, and you're always upset because you're working your butt off just to support a house, then somebody like me at some point in your life is going to say, dude, seriously? Why would you do that to yourself and to all these people you supposedly love? You know, downsize. Find another way. You'll be happier for it, and so will they. if you're one of these people who's always looking for the newest, bestest gadget, and you're unhappy unless somebody's giving you, you know, the new toys, well, you got a lot of learning to do. But you'll get to it eventually. And if you're someone who gives everything because you want people to like you, and then you go home at the end of the day not feeling so good because nobody appreciated that you spent your last penny on them, that's a problem too, because you didn't give to make other people happy. You gave to make yourself happy. Now, this is a tough concept to grasp for a lot of people. But if you're giving a gift to someone, examine your reasons for doing that. And if the reason at the bottom is because it makes you feel good, that's the wrong motive for giving. I know it seems counterintuitive, but if you can give what someone needs or enjoys without feeling anything in return, then you've arrived, okay? Your ego is in check. But if you're giving in order to get to jumping up and down, screaming and hollering and hugging and kissing and, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, then, okay, well, you know, you'll get that briefly. But are you really going to feel like that's enough? Are you going to then feel like that person owes you? So if the first thing you say when somebody does something you don't like is, after all I've done for them, then remember that phrase. If you find yourself uttering that phrase, you better go, whoa, I better check myself right now. Okay? So now we're going into the more metaphysical teachings. And that's, again, for another show. This is kind of complex stuff. But at least if you hear this once, then you'd be a little more open to the reality as things go along. And hopefully it will help you to see what you've been doing in your life, especially around holidays. And, I mean, I've seen some funny things happen on holidays. I used to have this one friend that you would give her a gift and she would scowl at you and throw it back at you. And you'd be like, whoa, that person cannot accept a gift. That is so funny. And I watched this happen a couple times and I went, wow. And I finally realized it was because she felt guilty. And a lot of people will give you gifts because they want that tie to you. They want you to feel guilty. They want you to be beholden to them. And when you get your ego in check, you won't feel beholden. In fact, you won't do all the excited jumping up and down and screaming. You'll just be going, wow, thank you. I could really use that. Thanks. And then you turn around and walk off, and they're like, whoa, wait a minute. I expected, you know, all this hoopla. And I could tell you it's pretty funny, you know, if people are really observing and they go, wow, I didn't get the hoopla. I wasn't expecting that. Then you can go, uh-huh. So you gave me the gift because you wanted the hoopla? Or did you give me the gift because you knew it was something I could use? And then they have to step back and think about it. And if they wanted the hoopla, then it's like, okay, well, here's your gift back. Go give it to somebody that'll go give you the hoopla. But if somebody says to me, well, no, I was thinking about you and, you know, I saw this gift and I knew it would be perfect for you. And no, actually, I don't need all the hoopla. I just need to know that you understand that I was thinking about you. And when I saw this and I thought that it was perfect for you. Okay, that's different. You know, I'll accept those kind of gifts, but the hoopla ones, nah, I'm not interested. So, see, as you go through the holidays, you can really learn a lot. You can learn what people are into you for. And so if you're feeling like your energy is being dragged on a lot during the holidays, yeah, start looking at those suspicious people that give you those gifts where they want something back. Start examining it. Do you really want to play that game? What's it going to take to make you feel happy within yourself? You know, because I can tell you it's not money and it's not gifts. It's not having everything. And if you doubt that, look at the people that are running the world. They have everything. They have 95% of the wealth. and the rest of us are stuck scrabbling for the 5%. And do you think those people are happy? They aren't. That's why they're trying to control everything that we do, because they are so miserable and deeply unhappy within themselves. Yeah, they have the finest of everything, but it's empty. And if you ever have the opportunity to have a lot of money, and if you're smart, you'll find that out. It's empty. The true happiness and the true connection comes by having the open heart and dealing honestly with yourself and with others. And when you do that, then you can have true happiness. And it's all from within. Okay? So I hope that's helped people. Because, you know, I've been there, done that. So I can tell you what's involved. I've had money and I've had none. And then I've had more money and had even less. And it goes back and forth. It's kind of like this little roller coaster thing that happens. You go, woo, oh, woo, oh. And there's a lot of us that do that. You know, we go to great heights, then we crash down. And then we scrabble our way back up again. And, you know, other people have an even keel. You know, I don't know what's better. I can just tell you that in my life, things are strange. And it's actually more fun that way. So I have chosen that for myself. You may be someone who needs a schedule, who needs to know exactly what's happening all the time. I've never been that way. And thank God that we're all different, you know, because otherwise it'd be pretty damn boring out there. So find out with your difference what's going to work for you. And take your holidays by the horn, okay? Decide what you're going to do. You got time. That's why I did this particular radio show now. You've got time to make changes, okay? You got about 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks. So you have time to decide if you want to change the way things have been. And just realize that if you're showing up at somebody's house just out of duty, you're not doing anybody any favors, least of all yourself. It's up to you. Okay, so hopefully that has helped. If you guys have any questions, you can always email me. And you can reach my email off of the BBS radio show page. And I do answer my emails. So go ahead and shoot me an email and I'll do my best to share, you know, what I've learned through the years. And if you get stuck someplace, you know, and you can't quite figure out what the next step is, there's a lot of people out there to help you. You know, email me and I'll give you a suggestion or two. And there's other people around, counselors and psychics and, you know, life coaches. There's a ton of us out there trying to help you because we've learned what a difference it makes in our own lives. So anyway, there you go. So I hope that you have happy holidays. I hope that you manage to get through unscathed and be good to yourselves. Okay, please. You are not so terrible, no matter what you've done in life. You are not so terrible that it's time to check out. Because you can always change. As long as you're still alive, you can change. You can be better. And just because you're alone does not mean that you deserve to be alone. Okay? All right. So now, until next week, be happy. Be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.